Here we go again. This is Jeffrey Davis, and welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. And we just keep rolling along, entrepreneur after entrepreneur after entrepreneur. Not this time. No, this is one of our serial guests. It's Larry Steibel, co-founder of Steibel Peabody Associates. Welcome back, Larry.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
I always feel like, it's like I have you back every quarter, half year, because we need the great guru informing us on what's going on. And you told me offline we're going to talk about quit rates and right. how to turn that around for entrepreneurs where new hires are quitting quite frequently.
Yeah, there was a study that was done by a software company, and they found that 30% of new engineers that are hired quit within 90 days. And I started asking around, are you finding this? And different industries are going to be different, but 90 days seems to be kind of a key time where if it's a bad fit, people are going to leave 90 days or earlier. And you and I have both had that experience.
You can tell. With clients, and I've had clients that I've looked at them after 90 days and thought, uh-oh, this was not what I signed up for.
Well, here's the thing for entrepreneurs. When they're hiring people, it's really, really important you hire the right person, obviously, because if we're looking at a large company like IBM, you hire a misfit, it doesn't have any impact on IBM.
That's
but
correct.
But if you're a startup and you got maybe three or four people and now you're going to hire the fifth person, that's going to change the dynamics of the whole company and the culture. So you got to be really careful about that hire. But I find entrepreneurs, when they're thinking about it, they're thinking about, I got to reduce my recruitment costs. How do I reduce my recruitment costs? What I'm thinking is, it's the wrong measure. It's not about the cost of recruitment. It's what is the cost to recruit and retain someone who's going to be there at least 90 days. Because if you hire somebody and they leave after 70 days, now you got to do the recruitment again. And you got to go through the onboarding again. So, mm-hmm. Do it well the first time. So I got a couple of ideas for your audience. The first idea is, if you possibly can do this, before you make a commitment to a full-time employee, try to bring that person on a consulting basis or on a project basis. This is the business equivalent of let's live together before we get married.
It's date before. And I've always practiced that since I started consulting with clients. That's how I actually started with my own consulting firm. My partners wanted me to go into partnership with them. And I said, well, why don't we work together for a few months and see if we like it before we get married?
It reduces everybody's risk. Because if, let's say, I'm a job candidate and I go to work for you, and let's say in 4 to 6 months it doesn't work out and I'm back on the marketplace, I've already changed my LinkedIn profile and now I got to explain this 6 month thing to people. Whereas if we work together, we're going to get along well together, then it's a very nice transition in. So that's number one. Try before you buy.
That's a good one. There's your tag. one of your tags.
The second thing is create how to manage me manual. And I'll tell you the story of how to manage me manual. One day I was coaching a CEO of a hospital, and this was many years ago. And I was using a BlackBerry at the time. I was waiting in his office, and I had this new BlackBerry just took it out of the box, and I'm looking at the manual. He walks into my office. He sees me looking at the manual and look at the BlackBerry, and says, Larry, aren't you smart enough to figure out how to use a BlackBerry without using the manual? I said, I am smart enough to do that. But it's nice that the nice people at BlackBerry have a manual. It helps reduce my risk of wasting my time. You, on the other hand, you're going to hire a vice president of medical affairs. This person's going to come all the way from California to Boston to work for you. First day he walks in, you're going to say, congratulations on the new job. Your success depends on managing me effectively. Good luck. Wouldn't the world be a lot nicer if you came equipped with a manual for how to manage you effectively? And he said, that's a pretty good idea. What would go into a manual? I'm making this up as I'm going along when I'm talking with them. So I'm saying, okay, the first part is chapter one, which is do's. These are the things I affirmatively want to see you do. Chapter two is called permission. Permission are things that maybe you probably don't want me to do, but I really do want you to do this. And if I ever give you an evil look or get angry at you, you show this manual, shove it in my face, say, look, I gave you permission.
Mm.
The last part is called stop.
Sounds like something you could use in a marriage, too. Are you a marriage counselor also?
It could be very useful there. The last is stop, which is don't go there. So let me give you.
I tried that. It doesn't work.
We're not talking
about marriages.
The do's are pretty easy. I'll give you two examples of permission. I'm working now with an entrepreneur, and he's got attention deficit disorder, and he's always
that's 50% of all entrepreneurs. Okay.
Yes. That's
at
right.
least.
Yes.
Okay.
And so he's always got things going. At the same time.
Is he talking about me?
No, I'm not. But so what will happen is you're talking to him and he's looking at his watch or he's looking at his computer, he's playing with his dog, and the permission is, hey, I like to have many things going on at the same time. It stimulates my creativity. I understand if you find it...
That's a great rationalization. I'm going to use that.
Yeah. I understand if you may find that disconcerting, and you have my permission to tell me to stop it.
That's correct. You have to empower the other person. But I also believe that people with ADD can learn to concentrate.
They can.
And have social skills.
That's another.
It can't be an excuse for not having social skills.
Yeah. So let me go back to my physician CEO. This is a guy, he's a doctor, he wears a white coat wherever he goes. And he loves to tell stories. The problem is when you get to a certain age, you begin repeating the same stories and you forget you told the same stories.
Yes.
But because he's dealing with a group of subordinates, they don't feel comfortable to interrupt this doctor and say, I've heard this story before, it's boring, can we move on? So he wrote the following permission in his How to Manage Me manual. I tell stories because I think it's a useful way for you to learn. I don't tell stories because I enjoy telling stories. If you've heard this story before, stop me. If you think
I say that all the time to clients.
Yeah.
Or if you're not interested in the story, just tell me.
If I tell you a story that you think is tangential to what we're talking about, stop me. When I tell you a story, I don't tell you a story because I want to tell you a story. If it's not working for you, let me know. Interrupt me in the middle of a story. This was a big deal because what would happen is his subordinates wouldn't feel comfortable stopping him. And so they'd wait for him to tell the whole story, and then they'd get impatient and be angry. Another example, there's stop, which is don't go there. So this is a guy who is a professor at a well-known research institution, but he commands like $40 million worth of research grants, and he's got lots of students who study with him. And his stop was, you may see me walking the halls, and it may seem to you like I've got nothing to do. Don't come up to me and engage me in a conversation if you see me in the halls. If you want to make an appointment, make an appointment with my assistant. I'll be glad to see you. But in the halls, I'm usually on the way to a meeting. Or if I'm in the halls, I'm probably thinking about something other than you, and you're interrupting me. So don't interrupt me. Make an appointment with my assistant.
Sounds like an introvert.
Yeah. Yes. I'm dealing now with the president of a life sciences company.
Right.
And this guy is extremely well educated, but he's very shy. And he has a tendency to say yes, but not mean it. You know, his yes sometimes means
it doesn't I like agree conflict either.
Yeah. In other words,
conflict averse.
I don't agree with what you said, Jeffrey, but I don't want to get into an argument with you about it. So I'll say, yeah, okay, Jeff.
Yeah, right.
So the permission that he wrote on his How to Manage Me manual was, you have my permission to ask me the strength of my agreement on a 0 to 10 scale.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Don't accept yes, meaning yes. Ask me on a 0 to 10 scale how much I agree with what you said. There are people that you and I know that if you ask them to do a 360 survey for them, they would reject it because it has all sorts of connotation of I need help, or there's something wrong with me. We're here to find out what's wrong with me. They would say no to a 360. But asking, we're going to create a How to Manage You manual. And in order to do it, we're going to interview you, and then we're going to interview some of the people that work with you. He's going to say, oh, yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, I could use this. And I could use this with the new people I hire. So the idea is, we're close to an agreement on hiring, and I give you the last thing is, are you going to be able to manage me? Am I going to be able to manage you? So here's the manual for how to manage me. Read it. If you like it, then we'll probably get along. Okay. If you don't like it, probably we won't. And by the way, Jeffrey, could you write a How to Manage Jeffrey manual? Because part of my success is managing you effectively. So
only one person does that.
I'd like to reduce my risks and uncertainty. Can you write a one for me? Now, all of a sudden,
definitely,
you're into an organization development intervention.
That sounds like a mature relationship. That's what you're describing. Yeah. How to have a mature, proper relationship professionally. We've been speaking with Larry Steibel, co-founder of Steibel Peabody. Larry, you're into a lot of things. Can you tell people, give people the quick list and then how to contact you?
Sure. The name is Larry Steibel with Steibel Peabody, S-T-Y-B-E-L, steibelpeabody.com. We do retain search for board members, CEOs, CFOs, and COOs. We do leadership development and coaching, and we do executive level outplacement.
Interesting. Well, thank you for being on the show. Don't take so long to come back again.
Thank you, Jeff.
You're one of our great regulars. My name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. On to the next one.